Attention! Attention! Express Cash, the Barbados Lottery's fastest game in town, now has an even bigger rollover jackpot. The rollover jackpot is now over $261,500. That's right, $261,500. It's so easy to play Express Cash. Visit your local lottery agent and ask for a quick pick ticket or fill out a slip to play your favorite numbers. So play Express Cash, the fastest game in town, drawing every 5 minutes at Barbados Lottery Agents Islandwide.
All right, this is Mason and guests. I'm Andrew Mason, of course, Dr. Andrew Ford. We've got on Zoom former West Indies hard-hitting batsman Philo Wallace. We've also got the former batting coach of West Indies, Toby Radford, and the legendary commentator there in New Zealand, Brian Waddle. Now, the lines are open, 4341790. You can certainly give us a call and participate in the show if you wish. Brian, in terms of revenue for this tour, lots of interest in radio, television. What's it like? You're going to make a lot of money from this tour, Brian?
No, I don't think so. It's not particularly strong. One of the issues in New Zealand at the moment, and I am one of the products of that, or the outcomes, is the change in media structure. New Zealand Cricket has sold their rights in both radio and television to some other organisations, and there's a strong view amongst those people who have watched cricket on television for a period of time that they're not going to spend money on the new company, which happens to be a telephone company. And there's danger that they're going to lose their ability to attract people to the game and keep the game in front of the public. Listening to Toby there just a moment or two ago, I don't think it'll fly, Toby. You talk far too much sense, and you've got a better plan than I think many cricketers around the world probably have, because that's what New Zealand did. They took the investment in the game. They spent a lot of money. They've got a stage now where to some extent the young people want better coaching. They certainly get it at the top level, but they want to get coaches now down to the younger level to bring them through to that next level. But it is going to take that sort of investment over there. And the interesting thing, you talk about the financial setup in this part of the world, of course, a trip to New Zealand now for teams has got 14 days in isolation. And Pakistan is here at the moment. West Indies have been here. That's costing the New Zealand game a lot of money, because I think the structure is still pretty much the same, isn't it, where the teams get to the landing area, and then it's a case of New Zealand picking up the tab. And, you know, for 2 weeks, I think Pakistan have been here with a squad of 42 players and 10 officials. It's a lot of people to have. But if you want to have international cricket, you've got to put up with that, and you've got to spend that kind of money. But it would be nice to think that that money was going into grassroots level rather than hotel management for a fortnight at a time.
All right, let's go and take some calls. 4341790. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Andrew, I can agree with a lot of what Philo Wallace was saying, okay? But Philo Wallace, you have to give the New Zealand bowlers a lot of credit. And all the bowlers all over the world, a lot of credit for bowling the West Indies out very, very cheap. We have the talent to bat. And the thing about it, that bowling has gone up. It's not at the same level as before. Yes, but you look at West Indies bowling, it hasn't gone up, because we are spraying the ball all around, and we are not looking that we have to make the batsman play. Okay? We are outside the off stump, and before we come a little closer to the batsman, we keep it out there, because we're looking at, okay, the batsman is scoring, so we got him tied down. And whenever you get the ball now at the batsman, because he's sighting the ball, he's beating you. It's as simple as that. And you will see that some of the lesser batsmen, when I say lesser batsmen, the lesser informed batsmen, not a Keir Williamson. Keir Williamson would make 300 off you. It's as simple as that. And the other batsmen that made runs, they have weaknesses. We are not exploiting the weaknesses of those batsmen. I read a comment and then I'll come in for the last minute.
All right. Okay. Philo, you want to respond?
I think that the New Zealand bowlers bowled well, Andrew, and they exploited the West Indian batsmen's weaknesses. Obviously, all bowlers. And I would like to ask Kemar Roach, when I see him, why does he come around the wicket to the first ball of a test match, the left-handed batsman? Why do you expose yourself so easily? Why not come over the wicket and angle the ball across? You know, I think that all bowlers sometimes don't try to attack the stumps a lot. They tend to bowl wider the off stump to restrict batsmen from scoring. But in restricting the batsman from scoring that way, the batsman is gaining confidence because he's leaving a lot of balls alone and he's picking up the pitch. So then it becomes very easy when they attack the stumps just to score. So I think that all bowlers need to hit the right lines and the right lengths from early and also show a bit more aggression.
All right, well, thanks for your contribution. All right, let's take another call. I know that Brian, you've got to go pretty soon. Another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Hey, Mister, how are you, sir?
How are you, my friend?
I'm great, sir, and to your guests, especially for Mister Philo Wallace. Mister Mason,
yes?
I think this word "coach" is overkill. Coaching
so?
Is overkill. Mm-hmm. Every day as we don't talk coaching, we play cricket, man. We always was in a cricket situation. I think the fellas overcoach and they can't play cricket because the coach ain't really bring the basics things in Chernobyl the cricket game.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
the problem. I feel that the problem is this coaching, practice fellas all in this practice situation. This should be in a cricket situation all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, really more this practice thing. I think that's the problem. And Mr. Mason, no fast bowlers around. Why don't you bring back the rubber strand balls so we could bowl with a rubber strand ball fast on the barber green courts we got nowadays because we used to do it in the roads.
Yes.
All this kind of thing. Well,
real pace.
We just depend on the Whitman technology all the time, in other words.
Oh, dear.
We're failing ourselves all the time. We don't want to give the word nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mason, thank you, man. Thank
all right.
You, sir.
Thanks for your contribution. Let's say goodbye to, of course, our very good friend. But just before you go, Brian.
Noises from your link.
If you're not talking, just mute the mic because we're getting some challenges here.
Your link.
Yes, I hope that things do, in fact, improve. But just before you go, Brian Waddle, looking forward to the second test match, more the same, you think?
Yes, I am, because it's being played, as I say, at the best cricket ground in the world. It's my cricket ground, and we always have our own favourites. Your home ground is your favourite ground, and the Basin Reserve has been my home since I have been about 9 or 10 years of age, so you can imagine how long it's been my favourite ground. And, you know, there are a lot of great grounds around the world, but I love the Basin Reserve. I love going to test matches there. I host a breakfast there on the morning of the first day, and we have a lot of fun, and that's starting to be taken around the country too, people getting involved in the game. So I'm looking forward to it, and just looking forward to another win.
Yeah.
I should have said another good game.
but Brian, just before you go, someone just asked me on WhatsApp, they've listened to you all these years. How long have you been doing commentaries now, Brian?
Oh, 39 years.
39 years.
1981.
Right.
Yeah, 1981 against India was my first test match.
Right.
I've been doing it since about 1976, but test matches are 81. So is that 39 years? Yeah, it's 39 years, isn't it?
Long time. And your favourite cricket of all time, Brian, before you go? Your favourite cricket of all time?
My favourite cricketer?
Of all time.
That is a tough one, just trying out that. It has to be Richard Hadlee for me.
Why?
Just because of what he was able to achieve. I mean, I could name a cricketer in every country in the world. I always loved watching Garfield Sobers play when he came out to New Zealand. I mean, he was a special talent. Greg Chappell in Australia was a player I used to admire because of the aesthetically pleasing way that he played cricket. David Gow was another one who was aesthetically pleasing to me. And in South Africa, Graham Pollock.
Yes.
I only saw him play four times. But he was a wonderful batsman, Graham Pollock. You know, there's so many great cricketers, and they just keep coming over and over. It's just it's just a wonderful sport. That's what I enjoy about it. But you know, they're just names that come to my mind at this stage. Now I've got to go off and see some of the next batch of greats practice at the Basin Reserve.
All right. I like that one. Thanks to you, Brian Waddle. Always a pleasure to have you. We hope to maybe come back maybe next week and review the test series. Thanks, Brian Waddle, there in New Zealand. All right, I see, Dr. Ford, you've got your hand up. Doc, a question?
We'll say bye to Brian, but it brings me back to what Toby was saying and the question relating to if administrators need to pivot towards more of the, you know, these accessories and the things that players need rather than just the organization and reorganization of their offices and functions in order to get a change in the you know, fortunes of the team. Maybe it's time that we make that change. Is that possible, Toby?
Well, I'd like to think it is. I mean, as I said before, I don't think it needs a huge amount of funds to do it. I think there are certain islands that don't have an indoor facility, and we know we do get rain in the Caribbean. So when it rains, there's nowhere for the guys to go indoor to practice. Putting these type of prefab buildings up that I mentioned before, that are, you could find them all around New Zealand and Australia, cheap prefab buildings with good lighting, good flooring, and a couple of machines where guys can practice. So I think that is all doable. And it isn't going to cost a huge amount of money. It takes all the excuses away, and it allows anyone who is good at the game from a young age or a professional age somewhere to practice where they know they can go and develop their skills. And I genuinely believe you're then getting the best out of the natural talent that you still have, because the talent is definitely there, as I said before. So I just want to see these players given every opportunity to reach their full potential. Because what I see at the moment is a lot of poor pitches, a lot of poor nets, a lack of equipment in certain areas, and yet those same players are being judged against other teams around the world who have got fantastic facilities, great funding, great nets, great pitches, and they're being compared. And it's a bit of an unfair, uneven football pitch. One team's playing downhill. That's how I feel about it. The players never moan about it. They get on and do their best. And they just get on with it. But as someone who lives in England, has seen different parts of the world, I think when I see the facilities that some of these players have here aren't even professional, and then I look at these top professionals in the West Indies and what they're then brought up on, I think, oh, you know, we're missing a trick. We're really missing a trick.
All right.
Yeah, I just want to ask you a short question related to, I know that we were playing at home, the tenure was short, but I want you to compare the, you know, the environment under Richard Pybus in that short home tour of England to the West Indies versus the other management groups you were in that didn't do as well. What was it that group with Pybus did so well to get those results for that short time versus what's been happening otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak for my time with Richard. I mean, Richard, for me, was very clear in strategy. He sat down. We had a meeting, right, in the Accra Hotel in Barbados. You'll know it well. We had a meeting for 8 hours of the staff, not the players, the staff. We sat for 8 hours and we discussed all the England batters and all the England bowlers and what was going to be the plan to bowl to Bairstow, what was going to be the plan bowling to Root, how were we going to get them out. We went through all of that. We talked about the bowlers and how we were going to play Anderson. We were going to bat outside the crease. We were going to get across to off stump, how we were going to play broad, what we were going to do when Moeen Ali came on. We were going to be really positive, get up. So we had a very clear strategy for all their bowlers and all their batters, right? We then had a meeting with the players, and the players were in absolutely no doubt about what was required of them and what was wanted for them from Pybus. So I think he had good strategy. He got the players to buy into that. And then he set up very clear batting groups and bowling groups. And at the end of each match, against key criteria that he wanted to achieve, those players then we could say, yes, we delivered that. Hang on a minute, we missed out here. We've got to do that in the next game. So I think there was a strategy. He set it. The players bought into it. He allowed me to go and work with the batters because, you know, that was my area. He allowed Vasper Drakes to go and work with the bowlers. So we all had our little bits and came together. Mushtaq Ahmed was a good mentor. He had a lot of, obviously, a huge amount of experience. He was a good man. So I felt there was a good vibe in the team. Players knew where they were going and they started to get results. And clearly when you get results, you know, it's an even happier place. And it was running along very smoothly. It was a well-oiled machine. And I think Richard is good at setting that agenda like that and getting everything moving nicely in that direction. And that's what he did. And we had a success on the back of it. I mean, you know, we beat England out there. I think it was the first time in 18 years when we won that Test Series 2-1. We then leveled the one-day series and England went on to be world champions. So, and this was only two, three months before they went on to become world champions. So clearly something was right at that time. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, Toby, I got a question for you, of course, a backup question, but we got a call. We also have Sir Clive Lloyd with us. Sir Clive, how are you?
I'm fine. Andrew, I'm all right. I'm listening attentively.
Yes, and your assessment of the test match, must be disappointed about the performance of the first test, Sir Clive?
Yes, it was really, in the sense that we had one guy getting 100, and a bowler getting 80 odd. So it's obvious that it's what is dedication that is needed. There's no doubt about that. What can I say? I don't think if a side is made 519 and then you get bowled out for 139 something, is radically wrong with your batting and your application. And, I'm sure they should have batted out that day and they came back fresh the next day and just collapsed. I think the batting situation, that they're not handling the pace very well. No. And I don't know, it's down to the people who are looking after their batting skills and their mental side of it, because I think most of our batters that we're now thinking should be playing test cricket has been brought up on one-day stuff, 2020. And test cricket is about application, you know, and trying to bat for long periods. And until we start doing that, we will be behind the eighth ball.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sir Clive, let's go and take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello, good night.
Good night.
Yeah, I want to know why we did not take the young, promising fast bowler, highly promising for a boy from Barbados, Keon Harding, to New Zealand. Mm. That is very baffling to me. Yes. And also, Kevin Hodge from the Windward Islands, to me, he has been knocking on the door for a while now. Mm. Kevin Hodge, what do you think about that?
Well, certainly Harding should have been in the reserves, for sure. There's no doubt about that. He went to England on the basis of tremendous performances in the regional competition. 8 matches, he did very well. And we were surprised that he didn't make the reserves.
Yeah, and Kevin Hodge from Dominica, I think
he's okay.
He should be knocking. To me, he's knocking on the door too.
He's knocking, but I don't know if he's knocking hard enough to get the other side of the door.
So hopefully, we should see Keon Harden in the West Indies. West Indies colors next year.
Yeah. Hopefully. All right, thanks.
I think we gotta get one of the wicketkeepers, one of the former great wicketkeepers to work with Shane Dowridge, though.
Yes. Well, he's home now for personal reasons. Let's hope that things work out for him. Thanks.
He was struck in his mouth behind his stops in England.
Yes.
And he got his finger broken up behind his stops in New Zealand.
Yes. So
he stays very closely.
Yeah, you gotta watch that. All right, thanks for your contribution. Lots of calls backing up. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good night.
Good night to you.
The West Indies are losing at a test.
You think so?
Yes.
What do you think so, ma'am?
Well, I see so, because the only way that they're going to take that rainfall.
Every rainfall?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And, well, Brian Wall is saying that the weather's not that good. The test match starts tomorrow afternoon around 6 o'clock Eastern Caribbean time. Are you going to be watching? You're going to be watching?
No, I don't know. I can't watch it.
You can't watch it. Okay, do you think they're going to lose again? But let's hope they win.
You feel they're going to win?
Well, no, I don't think so. Deep down inside, I can't see them winning.
I can't see them winning, are you?
Okay. How do you feel, though, I mean, to see West Indies performing so poorly?
I don't perform good at all.
No. You feel hurt?
Too bad.
Yeah, do you cry sometimes, ma'am?
they're dropping down too bad.
They're dropping down too bad. That's good old Bajan. Dropping down too bad. I like that. All right.
Okay.
Merry Christmas to you. Can we take another call? We can. Hello, welcome. Mason and Guest.
Mr. Mason.
Oh, our good friend from St. Lucia, Stanfield.
Yes, Mr. Mason. How are you, Mr. Mason?
How are you?
I am humble and behaving myself. And how are you?
Well, I'm doing the same thing, too. We got something in common.
Oh.
You don't seem convinced.
Mr. Mason, I'm praying for your team, please.
You're praying? What are you praying and saying?
I am praying for them, but on the other hand, you will not match, Mr. Mason. You wouldn't win it.
You don't think so?
No. Crapo, smoke your pipe, Mr. Mason.
Crapo, smoke your pipe.
Yeah. Mm. Your pipe, not mine. Yours.
Stanfield, you say that in part one in St. Lucia.
Crapo, smoke pipe, who?
Say that again?
Crapo, smoke pipe, who?
Okay. All right. Well, I think Dr. Ford got that. Doctor, can you repeat?
Mr. Mason?
Yes, my friend.
I wish your team well, but on the other hand, you won't win it.
You don't think we'll win?
No, your bowling weak and your batting weak.
The bowling is weak.
Yeah, Mr. Mason?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Gabriel, what he bowling though?
Well, let's hope. Well, I suppose he's going to play in this test match which starts tomorrow. But you know, in England, he performed very well in the first test and by the second.
Mr. Mason, who is the keeper? De Silva?
Yes, De Silva.
Well, I feel if he scores runs, there are in trouble.
Yes, but he's a good player. I would have had him in my squad when they went to England.
Well, I wish them well, but. We will see. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Stanfield. All right. 4341790. You can call and participate in the show. How much more time we've got left? Just around 15 minutes left in the show. Let's go to you, Philo. I mean, what can we do, Philo? Maybe we come on this program every week and say the same thing. What can we do to improve West Indies cricket, Philo?